It's really wonderful to see. I apologize for my voice. It's wonderful to see the yeshiva gather to hear of Rosenzweig. It always gives me a lot of pleasure to be able to introduce Rav Rosenzweig. I've done it a couple of times, and I actually owe Hakaras HaTov to the other staff members. Rav Rosenzweig was Rebbe to a few of the staff members here in Shalvim. Rav Turetsky, Rav Reich, Rav Rosenfeld, if I'm forgetting anyone, I apologize. And I relish this opportunity to say a few words. Rav Rosenzweig is also the Rebbe not just to to a segment of our staff, a significant segment, but also to many of our fine Talmidim. We're very, very proud of the success of our Talmidim, many of whom go to IU and are in many wonderful shurim, and many in Rav Rosenzweig shir and have continued to learn, succeed, and excel. Very, very happy. I myself am very, very, very privileged to have been in Rav Rosenzweig's shir for 3 years when I was in YU. And the truth is, my whole day revolved around Rav Rosenzweig. I was a computer science major. I learned some Bekiyas. I learned some Musar. I learned some Halacha. But the whole day, I woke up with Rav Rosenzweig, ended the day with Rav Rosenzweig, during the day worried about Rav Rosenzweig. And it was the best. It was wonderful. I've introduced Rav Rosenzweig a few times. I always try to say something different than I have in the past. Thankfully, Rav Rosenzweig is multifaceted, so there's a lot of material. And I want to just quickly touch on two perhaps unexpected points that I think it's important that everyone appreciate and learn from. The first aspect is actually something I mentioned, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, but I want to touch on it again. And when we speak about Talmud Torah, there's a concept that's a term that's bandied about, Hasmoda, Amelus B'Torah, and usually we take this to mean spending significant hours working very hard, late into the night, or as we would say, I guess, more deep, deep into the night. Hasmoda. And my first year, especially in Rav Rosenzweig's shir, as did all the years, but especially my first year, sort of redefined or added an additional layer of definition. I may have been, at the time, intellectually competent, but in Lumdus, I was certainly incredibly inexperienced. And I, for the first time in life, found my shir in a daily circumstance I'd never experienced before, to be honest. The depth and the breadth of shir was so overwhelming that I often had the feeling of being shipwrecked at sea, buffeted by the waters of the Yam HaTalmud that were from all directions. I sat there in the room, sometimes literally hanging on for dear life, clinging to any piece of stray driftwood so I could keep my head above the water. By the end of the shir, and to be honest, it wasn't the end of the shir, by the end of the day, after a lot of intense chazara, maybe I had finally made it to shore. Perhaps. And that was a great experience. And we would say in the vernacular, to get rocked, to be lost, to struggle, that was an aspect of hasmada that's not necessarily on the clock, but it's a hasmada of quality, how much a person exerts themselves. And Talmud Torah certainly demands that, and Rav Rosenzweig certainly brings that out in his Talmidim. A second aspect that I'll touch on briefly, perhaps very, very, very underrated, I find it very, very important, is Rav Rosenzweig's incredibly easygoing demeanor, midos, if we could just say it simply, perhaps genteel comportment, if you want to say it in other ways. Just in casual conversation earlier, Rav Rosenzweig dropped a couple of incidents that happened on the way, on his multiple failed attempts to get to Shalvim, which were only reinforced. We could tell those privately. And this is certainly reminiscent of the Gemara in Megillah Lamed Aleph, Kol Mokom She'ata Motzei Gvuraso, etc. Shamata Motzei An V'Sanuso. Sometimes the greater a person is and the more brilliant they are, the more you find they're another. Rosenzweig is always so pleasant, down to earth. And to be honest, the contrast between the genius And the down-to-earthness creates a very, very unique experience. I've never felt so humbled, intellectually subservient, and if I can not be misunderstood, at times terrified of someone so humble and unassuming. It usually doesn't go together. And to be honest, if I can say, I felt this way. I know Rav Lichtenstein as well, but I also felt this way by Rav Lichtenstein, and it's a beautiful, beautiful experience as well that we should all be zochet to have. So, for all that Rav Lichtenstein has done for me and for the other Rabbanim who he's affected so much, and for all of the Talmidei HaYeshiva, we thank Rav Lichtenstein so much for being able to be here today to give shir, and we're all very, very excited to hear. Thank you so much.
Not sure, quite sure what to say, but thank you very much, Nussbacher. Always introduces so affectionately, and his words are very meaningful to me. He's somebody who I have a lot of respect for and a great deal of pride in, as you can imagine. And I don't take lightly his, you know, extremely warm and kind and generous words. This week's parsha that we concluded was Parshas Vayechi. We said Chazak, Chazak, Benis Chazek. And of course, we're looking forward to starting Sefer Shemos. It's fascinating that we read of the, initial kernel, the nuclear family of Yaakov Avinu, which of course begins, you know, the population of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and we really read about it twice, once in the end of Vayechi and once in the beginning of Shemos. And it's a bit peculiar since one follows the other. And the question is, why is it necessary, you know, to repeat the same, the same list of people? But earlier already, if you read Parshas Vayechi, you know, carefully, it's a very puzzling, almost dizzying a little bit when you read the Parsha that, the name of Yaakov Avinu, as he takes care of his, last, I guess, will and testament, and he leaves a legacy for Klal Yisrael. So it's, I say, almost dizzying, to try to keep up with his identity, when he's Yaakov and when he's Yisrael. It's from one pasuk to the next, and sometimes, within the same pasuk. I think it's the same issue, and that is that we find in the Torah many times, that sometimes events or personalities are repeated, or somebody's referred to in two different ways, Bobizman, practically in the same pasuk. And the Torah is trying to accentuate the fact that there really are basically two dinim. There are two things happening at the same time. Yaakov Avinu, as he takes leave of Klal Yisrael, is basically saying farewell, bidding farewell to his nuclear family, to his children, to the children that he raised, as a flesh and blood, father who had responsibility for those children and who had all sorts of experiences and interactions with them, both with his Ben Zakunim Yosef and then Yosef's children, Ephraim and Menashe, and then all of the Shvatim. And at the same time, of course, he's also relating L'dore Doros to the Shiftei Ka, and in the case of Ephraim and Menashe, not merely to his grandchildren, but, to creating, a new, rung, in the Shvatim, and by demanding that Yosef bury him in Mitzrayim, Simna Yadcha Tachas Yerechi, which would be insulting on a personal level, if it weren't also being done on a legacy, destiny, Klal Yisrael level. So basically, everything Yaakov does is on two levels, on the personal level and on the national, and long-term level. And that's the same reason, I believe, why we have two records of, who this group is that starts the sojourn in Mitzrayim. It's on the end of Vayechi, And then, of course, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, which deals with Klal Yisrael. Why am I telling you all this? So whenever I come to, one of Eretz Yisrael, of course, is the place where this issue, anyways, is accentuated, because this is the national headquarters of the Jewish people, and everything that happens here happens, of course, can't skip steps, concentrically. First and foremost, it happens, to people and to individuals that you meet and that you know and you have relationships with and families and so on. But it's also, as I say, it's the place of destiny for Klal Yisrael. That, of course, is very critical. But especially when I visit Yeshivot in Eretz Yisrael, and I have Talmidim who serve in those Yeshivot in positions of responsibility, and they're being malamed, the next generation. They're taking that responsibility. So for me, it's also, this kind of dual experience. Because on the one hand, v'shinanta levanecha, banecha and talmidecha, is one kiyum. And it's certainly true that the bond and the, intense feelings of pride and continuity, that all these things are part of a proper Rebbe and Talmud relationship. Sometimes it takes time to develop that, but that's what it should be. A sense of shared, interests and passions, and goals. So when I visit my Talmidim, that's really, reconnection, which is very significant. We might, try to keep it light, but it's something which means a lot to all of us, on each side of it. But at the same time, for me, it's also, a very humbling experience of, seeing what the Talmidim of mine have accomplished with their own Talmidim and the part that they're playing in the unfolding of Klal Yisrael's destiny. So it's both. It's, Vayechi Yaakov and, it's... Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Vayomer Yisrael. And it's, again, it can be dizzying. It happens both at the same time. It's supposed to happen both at the same time. So I'm always happy to come to Yeshivat Shalvim. Again, I have, wonderful, I can, four of the Rambam, I guess, in the room now, could be more, and very good Chaverim as well, people who I know for a long time and respect a lot. And, of course, we do share the Talmidim coming back, also wonderful Talmidim, some of whom are here. I just saw four, five, six, seven Talmidim of mine who are here, and some brothers of Talmidim. So it's always a pleasure to be here. That was a long Hakdama, but okay. The topic that we want to discuss this morning, is a very extensive one. We're not going to be able to do the whole thing, but at least to talk somewhat about it. It's a shir that I usually give as a kind of an introduction to Masechet Bava Kamma because it raises questions which are important throughout. And I always like to introduce it with the Gemara and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, famous Gemara, that Hayman Deboi Lemehev Chasida, and if somebody is interested in being a chassid, which we should all be interested in one way or another, that that he should likiyume, he should be involved in various different limudim. It's always we have these gemaras are great because you don't need so many volumes, but then you end up in Nazir instead of Bava Kamma, so that's always a problem. So the Gemara says that Hayman deboi lemehev chasida, if a person wants to be a chassid, that that he should be involved l'kayim mili de nezikin, and then Rava says mili de avos for amal mili de brachos. So it's a very challenging Gemara. If I ask somebody, what is the recipe for being a chassid, mili de avos certainly would come trippingly off your tongue because avos is about ethics, and it's about lifnim mishuras hadin. Maybe brachos, because brachos really challenges one to understand what is expected of him in this world, what you're supposed to make a bracha on, forces you to cope with you know, the things that you take for granted that you shouldn't, to differentiate and distinguish in very subtle ways between the different blessings that you know, you are you know, zoche, you know, to experience in your life. Brachos is a very deep limud, you know, in many, many, many respects. But one which probably I would not have thought of, I've known this Gemara for a while, so you know, now I think of it, but on my own I wouldn't have thought of it, would be l'kiyume mili d'nezik. Because mili d'nezikin is something which we don't associate with chassidus. Every culture has a perspective on nezikin, no matter what. If it doesn't, then you're talking about you know, an inherently flawed, likely failed society. Because no culture can exist, you know, if people are going to be competitive, you know, in a way that is completely unruly, you know, and unsupervised. Ishas chaveiro chayim b'lo'o. So if there's anything which isn't about chassidus, but which is about elemental subsistence, the regulation of society for the sake of efficiency and for survival, it's the area of the zikin. So how does that make you a chassid? Moreover, the Gemara uses the expression here, l'kiyume, that you should fulfill, l'kayim rather, mili din zikin. Typically, you don't fulfill nezikin, you avoid being mazik, you know, chabero. Just a strange, again, l'kiyume when it comes to avos, l'kiyume when it comes to brachos makes a lot of sense. Kiyuma mitzvos, right? Lefnim mishur sadin. What is l'kiyume in nezikin? But the Gemara, you know, before that, tells a story which highlights the issue, and that is Tan Rabbanan, Chasidim Arushanim Ayamatznim, Kotzoseim, Uzchuchioseim, Betov Sadoseim, that the Chasidim Harishonim used to squirrel away. They used to hide, you know, any thorns or shards of glass, Betov Sadoseim, you know, in the, they used to dig them into the ground, Umamikin Wehem Gimel Tvachim, Kineshali Akeva Macharesha. Right, and then the Gemara says Rav Sheshes Shadi Luhu Benura, Rava Shadi Luhu Bedageles. In other words, they used to ensure that people, you know, would not encounter mazikim that could cause damage. So, what's fascinating about that isn't typically, you know, what Dine Nezikin and other cultures and societies is all about. It's about, you know, drawing limits, about, you know, not encroaching upon and not causing damage, you know, to your neighbor. But what the Hasidim HaRishonim here were involved in was they basically limited their own use, their use of their own property, right, in order that other people would be safeguarded from the legitimate rights that they had. And that, of course, is chassidus, and that, of course, is a kiyum. Indeed, this not only, you know, the typical nezek, which is called nezek, is something, you know, in Masechet Bava Basra, you know, in the beginning, the first and second prakim speak about, that is a harchokas nezokin, right? Especially in the context of Shechinim, where, again, a person in his own dalet amos, in his own bilus, is obligated to refrain from doing things that seemingly his autonomy, you know, and his sovereignty should more than justify, because he owns the property, right? And nonetheless, there's something called harchakas nezakin. We talk about privacy as being a problem of hezek re'iya, right? And again, somebody shouldn't think that this has to do with ayin bisha, ayin hara. And others think that it's just about Kedushas Yisrael and privacy. So this idea that there's an aspect of Nezikin which is chassidus and which is a kiyum, namely that it imposes upon you limitations, voluntary limitations in some case, or obligatory ones which are even more mechudash in other cases of your own bailos, this is a very important very important idea. In light of that, and in some respects, that is certainly equal to, and maybe even, you know, more far-reaching and more impressive than the brachos and then the avos. But at least we can certainly understand where it comes from. Okay. In light of this, it's interesting to ask the following question. And that is, okay, that has to do with chassidim arishonim. What about the regular dinim of mazik, right? How do we relate to those dinim? And here, one could say, or one could pose the question, one could pose there being two perspectives. One perspective is that, you know, typical dinei mazik, not harchokas nezakin, is all just about dollars and cents. And it's a very pragmatic, you know, kind of halacha. In other words, unlike other areas of the halacha, right, this is what I like to call quid pro quo oriented or based. In other words, I damage your property, right? If I'm the aggressor, I initiate, destruction, you know, that that you end up, you know, suffering, then it's my obligation as a matter of svara, you know, that I repay you. That's what quid pro quo means. It means, you know, something in exchange for something else. If I cause you a $100 loss, then yosher, right? It's very reasonable that I'd have to pay that. Does that have anything to do with Isurin? You might have said that that's just a transaction. Okay. Or is there a Isur component to that? It's fascinating if you take a step back and you think about it, that the Torah does not formulate an explicit Isur Mahazik Mamon Chaver. We'll talk about what the Rishonim say about it in just a minute, right? But no matter what you say, it's just minimally interesting or striking even that the Torah is sufficiently silent about this matter that at minimum the Din of Mazik is automatically differentiated, you know, from, I'll call, its colleagues in the Rambam's Sefer Nezikin. The Rambam, as you know, classified all of Jewish law in the Mishnah Torah or the Yad HaChazaka, right? And one of the Svarim, of course, is Nezikin. That's the one which has, you know, probably gotten the most amount of use since he started learning Bava Kamma. So in Nezikin, in the Rambam's Sefer Nezikin, right, the Rambam starts with Nizkei Momo. And then from there, as we know, he proceeds after Nizkei Momo to speak about Dinei Geneva. Right, it's Nizkei Momo. Then comes Geneva. Then comes Gezela. Right? Then comes Chavalah, Chovel Mazik, we'll discuss that in just a minute. And then it concludes with Rotseach Shmiras HaNafesh. Every one of those categories, it refers to an area of halacha in which there's an explicit isur in Torah Shebitzav. And typically the Rambam, you know, towards the beginning of the each section, you know, starts with that. And of course in Minyan Mitzvos, the Rambam, you know, counts it explicitly. There's an isur of Geneva, Lo Signova, there's an isur of Gzela, Lo Sigzo, there's an isur of Rotseach, there's an Isur of Chabala, that's a little bit trickier. Probably don't have so much time to get into that, but it's an interesting. But again, the Rambam has it. It's a little bit more indirect in terms of, you know, the contrast to, you know, Shliach Bezdin giving out or meeting out Malkus and so on. But at the end of the day, it's perfectly clear in the Torah that there are Isurim, right, to the different categories, right, that make up the Rambam's Sefer Nezikin, with one exception, and that is Mazik. Right? The Torah deals with the dinim of Mazik in Sefer Mishpatim, as we know, in Parshas Mishpatim, in Shmos. And we do not find a pasuk which unequivocally says that you are prohibited, that you're asur, right, to be Mazik Mamon Chavercha. And Kol Shekein, we don't have a pasuk that says that your obligations in terms of Niske Mamon, which is what the beginning Prakam of Bava Kamma are all mostly about, right? The shore and the boar and the Aish, etc. Right? There's no pasuk which obviously fits the bill, and we'll see soon. I mean, some people suggested Velo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, that that's not a description, but it's kind of a violation. You didn't do the shmirah. That's an azhara and an iser. But at the end of the day, that's an interpretation. Don't have to read the pasuk that way. Lo signovu and lo sigzol and the iser of lo sirtzach. They're all very prominent in different places. Again, Chabala is a little more subtle, but that too, is clearly usur. And the Rambam has all these in Sefer Mitzvos, and the Rambam has all these in his koteret to each of these sections, and the Rambam formulates all of these at one point or another, mostly in the beginning of Prakim, as well. But when it comes to Mazik, the Torah is not obviously formulating an Iser. And the Rambam, likewise, and many other Rishonim, following him, are pretty quiet and pretty silent about it as well. And indeed, the Mabit in Kiryat Sefer, in a couple of places, in Hilchos Niske Mamon, Parakei Halacha Aleph, and in Hilchos Shkeinim, Parakei Halacha Aleph, Shkeinim in the context of Harchakas Nezakin, the Mabit suggests that the Iser Lahazik in these two contexts is only drabanan. It could be that he means this mostly in a case where you're mazik al manas l'shalem. We'll get to that in a minute. But either way, the bigger point is that there's no Iser Torah. He too seems to be zeroing in on the fact that there is no Iser Torah, no clear Iser Torah to be mazik. Certainly, al manas l'shalem, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes. And that, of course, is very singular. It clearly distinguishes both Mazik and Niske Mamon from the other cases. And it raises this question. Is it, the Torah, isn't explicit about it, but there is an Iser? And if so, what would be the nature of that Iser? The other side of this is that our moral intuition, whatever that's worth, moral intuition, if it's, Torah generated, is something to think about at least, but upon further reflection, we might just realize that our instinct is wrong. But certainly our instinct is that when it comes to Dine Mazik, that it isn't just about Tashlume Mamo, but that there's something wrong with, even if it's going to be Amanas L'Shalem, if you're going to be Meshalem after the fact, even if it wasn't Amanas L'Shalem, our instinct is that the undermining of somebody else's bailus, right, is something that is improper. It seems like there's something wrong with that. However, we might be wrong. Maybe it is really just about dollars and cents, a quid pro quo. It's also possible that the reason that we feel this way does reflect something that is true, but something that needs to be formulated exactly correctly. And that is the following. It's possible that it's also lahazik mamon chavero, but that the Iser isn't a specific Iser of mazik, but that Iser really comes under the rubric of some broader dinim and broader isurim. For example, we find that a couple of Rishonim speak about whether it's an Archakas Nezakin, and that matters a lot, but I just don't have time to go into some of the nuances and the particulars, although they're very important. But for purposes of today, we'll say more generally that things like the Ahavta L'Reacha, Kamocha, are violated by somebody who, not just by accident one time, but, somebody who is negligent or lax, and is mazik mamon, shel chavero. This is something that the Ad Ramah says in Bava Basra, when he talks about Chokas Nezakin. The Ritva in Masachet Gittim speaks about V'haftal Reacha Kamocha this way. The Chinuch speaks about V'haftal Reacha Kamocha in this way. There's a Tshuva, the Rosh, where he speaks about a person as Mazik, Mamun Chavero, as violating Durachecha Darchei Noam. Some of the Achronim speak about Mufneiver L'Sitei Mechshal. The Rashash in Masachet Ksuvos, in a very famous passage, which other Achronim quoted, speaks about Hashavas Aveda, but, you know, at minimum, if you're, you know, destroying somebody's property, you know, Kol Shekein, you know, that's, if there's a Chiv of Hashavas Aveda, then certainly, you know, making, destroying this person's property, even if you end up, you know, paying for it, if you want to pay for it, you know, seems to be Kol Shekein worse than just ignoring Hashavas Aveda, where, you know, you're not doing the kumba assay, but you didn't do anything wrong. You're taking away this person's object, and you're taking it away, you know, his be'en permanently. The idea that, you know, be'en has its own significance, I should add, something we'll talk about in just a minute, is really part of this question as well. Because if we look at objects and ownership only from a financial, pragmatic perspective, namely, I own, X amount of property or this and that, you know, object. So really, you know, it's my ownership of $1,000 or, you know, $1,200 or whatever it is. If you look at ownership in terms of, you know, value and, you know, and net worth, so then the idea, you know, that you're doing something which is actionable in court, and especially if you do it in a manner, you know, which to begin with is almanas l'shalem. So the idea that, you know, it's quid pro quo, you're going to have to pay, but, you know, iser, so maisa vera, you know, is something that maybe you could argue. But the more you think that ownership of a be'en, right, so I'll get to this point just in a couple of minutes, we're talking about gazelle, is that there's bailus on a be'en, and therefore there's a violation of bailus, even when you deny a person his be'en, even though there's no financial loss, either because of the, I guess, the priceless aspect of his relationship to his be'en, perhaps, which could be subjective or objective, or just per se, even if it has, again, has zero to do with even subjective, you know, feelings of value. Just the Torah recognizes ownership and sovereignty. And therefore, taking that away or playing fast and loose with that is inconsistent with that perspective. So then the idea that there is some sort of an iser involved may imply that it's not just v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha or v'achecha darchei noam or l'fnei iver. It might be connected to Hashavas Aveda, which does connect to the ownership of a be'en. And perhaps it's related to something more than that, as we'll discuss. Okay, so this question is something to think about. If indeed, take a step back before we go into what some of the Rishonim say about all this more specifically, if we think that there is an Isur D'oraisa, whether it's a general Isur or something, you know, more specific, there are other questions that we should also raise in an introductory kind of way. And that is whether it makes sense to be b'chalek between different scenarios or different types of mazik. And here, just to throw out a few things, this is, again, a massive topic, but let's just talk about a few basic issues. Does it make a difference whether or not the act of mazik that we're talking about is one which is mechayev tashlumin, or not? I was feeling like, you know, very rustic and, you know, Eretz Yisrael, and like, put on the lights. Okay. You can get lights in America. Shelved in for that. Okay. But does it make a difference whether there's a chiv tashlumin or not? And if so, in which direction? And this is, again, a massive. More. You're going to have it already, might as well. So, for example, there are all sorts of cases where
you know, person is mazik or niske mamon, you know, mamon chavero, and he's potter. If you're potter, is that more reason to violate an iser or more reason to avoid an iser? And the thinking, you know, goes as follows. On the one hand, if we're talking about a shiur in the intensity of the action, the degree to which, you know, this is connected to you in a more direct fashion, and therefore is more of a violation. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Both in terms of your achrayus and your being a direct party to it, maybe even in terms of there being like a maisa beira, right? Part of the charm, let's say, of chavala, well, I don't really mean that, but I mean negative charm, of chavala and rotzeach and geneva and gezeima, is the fact that there is a very clear hagdara that the halacha has for these categories, right? And we don't find that by mazik. Even niske mamon, of course, the differentiation between the different niske mamon is one of the main themes and topics of these first six prakim and bava kama. You know, what's really born, what's really aish, and what is avanos akino maso, and you know, all these cases and hybrids, and right, that's very exciting. But that's different, meaning that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about geneva, gezela, rotzeach, chabala. It means it's like a tsura, right, to these things, how you actually do it, and our shiurim, right, in some cases, you know, is it betzina, is it farhesia, how much do you have to take or steal, you know, what kind of haka'a is it, you know, things of that sort. Meaning there's much more form involved in the others than there is in mazik, and somewhat even in this kemama. Mazik and this kemama are more result-oriented, would say, whereas the others, of course, have result elements, you know, but there are forms there as well. So the question is, when we take a step back and we wonder whether there's an Iser and what role the Iser might play in Dine Mazik, right? So on the one hand, what you might say is that the more there is Chiv Tashlumin, the more there is reason to think that he did a Maisa Mazik, or in the case of Nizke Mamon, a Maisa of Nizke Mamon. And therefore, it might qualify as being a Maisa Beira, as being a Maisa Iser. Whereas, if you do it in a way that you're Potor, maybe that reflects that the Tzura is even more, you know, is even more compromised. For example, let's say that would apply certainly to the categories of Grumma, and Hezek Sheno Nikar, you know, Gorim Lamamon. If you say that Hezek Sheno Nikar Loshma Hezek, or that Garmi or Grama are Pator, or Dabagar Lamamon Kimamon is not Kimamon Dami, so you're Pator in those cases. But in addition to being Pator, what you say, the reason you're Pator is because you have less, you don't have a Chefta Shol Nezek in the case of Hezek Sheno Nikar, you don't have, you know, sufficient. Maisa Hezek in the case of Garmi, it's like too indirect, or especially if it's Grama, right? There are multiple, you know, contributing, you know, factors, and therefore you didn't really do it. All this takes away from the intensity of your involvement. It also implies that in some cases that there are other parties, which kind of dilutes it. But either way, all this takes away from the tsura of what might be a Maisa Avera if you need a Maisa Avera. There are other examples which are less tsura problems, perhaps, or not. And that's, let's say, the pturim of niske mamon. Let's say, tamun, you know, be'esh, and kalim, you know, bebor, and rishus harabim, you know, when it comes to shein v'regel. So in all these cases, you have to try to weigh. This is again part of the limud, whether or not these particular pturim are gzeros hakasuvs, or whether they reflect some dilution again in terms of the mechayiv, in terms of the maisa hezek, the chefsa shel nezek,
some contributing factors, something about the way that the Nezek works, etc. But certainly, if you take the view that some of these are the svara, where some of them have to do with the sura of the hezek or the nezek itself, so then the likelihood of being involved in a maisa avera or a maisa iser, right, is directly, you know, correlated with the likelihood that there's actually going to be a chiyuv tashlumin, you know, one way or another. Moreover, you know, even if you think simply that, forget about the tzura problem, the point is that the intensity of your involvement and the acuity of your nezek certainly is connected to the question of tashlumin, and therefore the more that you are chayiv, the greater the prospect, you know, that your actions are objectionable, and maybe even constitute a maisa aveira. And indeed, if you look at Rashi and Gittin, Daf and Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi talks about the issue of hezek she'eino nikar. Rashi there does seem to say that if hezek she'eino nikar lo shmei hezek, that the iser could only be an iser drabban. Let's see if I can find it. I have a bunch of things here. Okay, I have it. Rashi talks about hezek she'eino nikar. Here it is on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi says v'tamei medameya, right? Isura drabananu kiven delo shmei hezek ein kan isura doraisa. So on the surface, what does one thing have to do with the other? And the Ritva Alatar in Gittin actually makes this point. That same place where the Ritva makes his comment about v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, he says, I don't see why you can't violate v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you know, even though you're pater b'tashlumin. What does the chiyuv of mamon have to do with the level of isa? However, the question is, what does Rashi mean by it? Does Rashi mean what I just said, which is that there's a correlation between the acuity of your involvement, and the more acute it is, the more likely there's tashlumin, and therefore hand-in-hand with that likely yisur? Or it could be that this is something very specific to the issue of hezek she'eino nikar, but in a way which is a paradigm, a model for other things. There's a lot of evidence, I'm not going to go into this in detail right now, but in the sugya of hezek she'eino nikar in particular, is linked you know, to the ability to say, if you steal something, and then, you know, you take it, and it becomes subject to hezek she'eino nikar. Let's say you steal, you know, chametz before Pesach, and then it's chametz shavur olam on Pesach, so you can't eat it anymore. No one can be nana from it anyway, so that's an invisible, you know, damage. And then you say, what do you want? Here it is, harei shochal lefanach. Does that work or not? So the Gemara suggests that there is that if you hold hezek she'eino nikar lo shma hezek, right, then you could say harei shochal lefanach. Right, if you say that hezek she'eino nikar shma hezek, right, then you can't say harei shochal lefanach. Again, there are other sugyas that imply that this may not be correct, but that's what the Gemara seems to say, at least in some sugyas. So it could be that when it comes to hezek she'eino nikar, that the real question is, as I said, kind of alluded to before, is whether or not if you have invisible halachic damage, whether that constitutes a chetza shel nezek. At the end of the day, right, if the issue is about the value of the property, right, the guy used to have something worth $100, and whatever you did made it worth nothing, right? So on the end of the day, what difference does it make whether or not it's visible or invisible, whether it's physical or it's halachic, right? But the point is that, again, the connection to Harei Shochal Lefanach basically says the real question is whether invisible nezek is a chetza shel nezek. So it could be that, you know, there are, I think, two ways to understand Rashi. One way to understand Rashi, who correlates the Iser and the
and the Tashlumim, and when it comes to Hezek Shenanik or Loshma Hezek, is to say, to understand it the way the Ritva understood it and objected to it. Namely, and that's what the Ritva said. Why? One question is in Dini Mamun Choshem Mishpat, and the other question is in Isurim. And never the twain, no shall meet. But Rashi's response might have been, I agree with that. There doesn't have to be a correlation between either as a level of acuity or intensity, or maybe that the Isur is, you know, connected, or by virtue of the fact that Totsah they created the skiyu, maybe Rashi will say in Achanan. However, particularly when it comes to something like Hezek Shein and Ikar, Shmo Hezek or not, if the reason for the Ptur Tashlumin is that there's no Chetzah Shel Nezek or Maitse Hezek, the things that themselves might be the basis of the Iser, then that would be a whole different story. Okay. So that, you have to, that's a kind of a microcosm of this question. In other words, whether or not there's a correlation between Chiyuv Tashlumin and Iser, right, could be one question with many examples. I said you have, in this case, moment all the Peturim, especially the ones that are not so logical, would be candidates of that. Tumun and Kalim and, you know, Rosh Hasharabim, as we know, is a major debate. You know, whether that's Misvara or that's also just Xeris or Kasuv. If you think that the issue is the correlation itself, then the Chiyuv and Ptur is what's Kobeh. If you think that the Ptur Tashlumin is sometimes a Shiur in Maisa Hezek or Chatzah Shal Nezek, and the real Iser depends on that, then you might be Mechalik between the different Pturim, because it isn't the causal impact of the Chiyuv Tashlumin or lack of Chiyuv Tashlumin. It is, you know, or even as a Shiur in the acuity of what you've done, it is in the Tzura or the Maisa or the Chatzah of the Nezek, and that would apply only to some things and not to others. At the same time, Misvara, one could say that the relationship between Tashlumin, just for a second, and Iser is actually maybe in the opposite direction. And that is, as long as there's a Chiyuv Tashlumin for what I do, so you might argue this quid pro quo, meaning at the end of the day, you know, there's no Iser here because there's no financial loss. And if you're ignoring for a moment, let's say there's no Tzura, sufficient Tzura, there is a Be'en, but, you know, maybe the, you know, the destruction of the Be'en per se, as long as there's not a financial, element to it. And let's assume for the moment that, you know, if it's Al-Manas L'Shalim might make a difference, or just the fact that, you know, it's actionable in court is sufficient, as opposed to saying, well, there's a financial loss too, just so you can recover that. Right? That's another perspective. So in the end of the day, what you might say is, you know, anything having to do with any of the straight Tashlumin issue, because it really isn't a Tzura or Maitse, it's not like you're being pogame on this person's, you're doing something to him through his money, because it isn't that kind of a thing. So then there's no Iser. However, if you cause somebody technically a loss in a way that is not legally actionable, right, so then there's certainly an Iser, you might argue. Because, like, he's out $1,000, you really inflicted, you know, pain on this individual, and he has no recourse, right? So it might be, you might be able to make a case that things like Hezek Shein Nikar and Grama and Tumun and Kalim, Rashi Shita, you know, about Toldo Seyem Lav Kiyotzebehen, as you know, the Gemara in that base from base has this whole discussion with Toldo Seyem Kiyotzebehen, Lav Kiyotzebehen. So Rashi seems on base from base to say that if you hold Toldo Seyem Lav Kiyotzebehen, it means that you are potter. So again, according to Rashi, we don't paskin Toldo Seyem Lav Kiyotzebehen necessarily, but in the end of the day, what would that have meant? Right, so you'd be, would that have any impact on Iser? So you might say exactly the opposite, and there might be some evidence for that as well. Yeah.
The Rashi didn't say that the Iser is the right sort of abundance, depending on whether they have to pay or not.
Yeah.
Doesn't that just highlight the fact that the Iser of Nezek comes from within the Parsha of Mezekin?
In the Parsha?
Within the Parsha of Mezekin somewhere. Instead of it being a global Iser like either will say so, or I don't know if I want to call it either. Doesn't it make it more pruddy versus kabbalu? I didn't understand the...
Not necessarily. Why does it have to mean that it's more... It could mean that.
It's out there at the come up, it makes sense.
First of all, let me say this. I don't know that Rashi doesn't think that you also... I don't know that Rashi thinks that you don't violate the Avdur Alva Kamalcha either. But I'll say two things for Rashi. Number one, what I said before. That it could be that Rashi just thinks that the acuity and all that is reflected. The shear of that is whether there's Chiyuv Tashlumin. That's one possibility. That's what the Ritva didn't like.
What I'm asking is the shear of what? What did you do? The shear of the acuity of what?
The shear of...
You're talking about an Avera.
Right.
If you're not referring to the Avera called the Zikin...
No, for sure Rashi is referring to Avera called the Zikin.
That means there is an Avera called the Zikin.
It sounds like it.
That's what he's referring to. It's
yeah. Well, you just want to make the point that it sounds like Rashi thinks that there's an Isur Prati. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's true. But why does that conflict with... But it's still correlated to Tashlumin. I mean, it's an addition. You're making an addition.
It's correlated because it's Prati. Because it's the Isur here. Because
right, right, right. 100%. Yeah, I was actually going to get that later. But 100%. Right.
If it's not Prati, and if it's not in the Prati, you can still make the case that like a low sigzel component will be different whether you have to pair it up or about the...
Well, low sigzel you might... I think you might have a little... I'll get to that soon. But not the Haftal Riacha Kamocha. Presumably not the Haftal Riacha Kamocha. Or a Shavas Aveda. Or Durachel Darche Noam. Or Lichnever Lissite Mikshak. Meaning that there are... I think Losigzo, which I'll get to in just a minute, is a little bit different than those. Because I don't think it's completely klali. In the same way, it's more prati than those other ones are, and it also may more particularly be an internal matter, and I'm going to explain that in just a minute. Right. But that has what all I'm saying is that's nothing to do with the question of the correlation issue. You're just making an additional point, which I think is correct, which I was going to make later on, and that is an implicit in Rashi, is that there is an Yitzhar Lahazik that has, you know, a very internal and, you know, very local meaning, because otherwise, why should it even depend on any of these things? Anytime you do something, right, Behaftal Racha Kamocha should not be dependent upon, the legal assessment, right? Those are two different issues.
That is really the first step, saying that there's an Isser Prati here, that there's an Isser Lahazik. One, there's an Isser Lahazik, and there's a Piyad Mamon, then one can talk about a connection between the two. One cannot talk about a connection between the two when there's no Isser Lahazik.
Right. I'm saying within that. Okay. Right. I'm just saying that there's still, within the view that there is an Isser Lahazik, the question whether or not Tashlumin is neutral, better, or worse is an open question. That's all I'm trying to say. But your R is absolutely correct. I was going to mention later, but 100%. Yeah, okay. By saying Isura Drabanan, because of the lack of Tashlumin, I was only saying, even then in Rashi, it could be because it's the fact of the Tashlumin, which is what the Ritva particularly didn't like. Or Ritva has also the possibility of Gezel in that piece. Or it's a shiur in what constitutes Ma'is Hezek. That's what I was trying to highlight with the Haresh Ocha Lefanecha in terms of Chetzah Shel Nezek. Okay, so that is one possible area of distinction, and you also might distinguish within different Tashlumin Keturim. The second area, there are a bunch of them, but is the question of whether you want to be Mechalek between Adam HaMazik and this came up. Okay. So the fact is that the idea that there's an Isur Lahazik is much more compelling, you know, when the individual himself does the act of Hezek, as opposed to, you know, he's the bailin, right, of this kimo. It doesn't have to be that way, but we'll see in a moment that there are Rishonim who formulate, and there are those who formulate both. But this, of course, also brings us to the question of the general relationship, which is something to think about in all these six prakim, between Adam HaMazik and this kimo. As we know, there's a debate in the Gemara whether Adam HaMazik is included in the first Mishnah and the Arba Avos Zikim, whether Mabe is Adam or not, Machlokesin Rav and Shmuel. Either way, Adam Amazik is included in the first six prakim of Bava Kamma. I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. I mean, we have the Mishnayos and the discussions in the Gemara about Adam Muad Yolam, etc. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's fully integrated with Niske Mamon. But if you say Arba Ovos Zikin, and in one Mishnah you include, right, Bor and H, right, and some sort of Shor and Adam, right, they could still be very different, but the odds have increased that you are equating these things to each other. It's fascinating to me, I've always thought it's a good deal, that the Rambam in Pirshim Shayas weighs in on the question of what Mabe, you know, means. Rambam says, don't think that Mabe means Adam, we reject that view. And it always occurred to me that, you know, the Rambam in Pirshim, it's a methodological question too. Does the Rambam in Pirshim Shayas, you know, have to weigh in when there's no difference, you know, halakha l'maisa, there's no nafkamina? Like, this is a methodological Rambam Pirshim Shayas question. And if that's a question, then why does he do that here? But the answer is, Joey knows the answer. The answer is that the Rambam has a particular shita, I think, that is l'shitaso on having to make that comma. And that is, the Rambam did something very remarkable. He took Adam Amazik out of Hilchos Nizke Mamon, and he put it in Hilchos Kovalamad. Hence, it's called Kovalamazik. Placement of the Rambam is always crucial, because the Rambam recodified the entire halacha, and he reorganized all of it, and, you know, he made editorial decisions where to put things. Sometimes he did that, probably for the sake of efficiency, you know, for pragmatic reasons, for sure. And in my opinion, most of the time he did that for the sake of intellectual, conceptual rigor. So it's just important, though, to know when the Rambam does that, then you can assess and try to figure out why. But what he did here is quite remarkable. The discussion of Adam HaMadzik and Bava Kamma all takes place within the first six prakim of the parak. Then comes parak Meruba, then comes parak Chovel. That's also a strange, you know, organization of Bava Kamma. Then comes, you know, two more prakim, right? It goes a Leitzim and it goes a Labasra, right, about Gezela. Okay, the fact that Chovel is Maksik between the Geneva and the Gezelas is an interesting, curious issue. You know, that's something to talk about as well. But what the Rambam did was he wrote, again, he organized Sefer Nezikin, which, as we know, begins with Nizkei Mamon, and from there proceeds to discuss, right, Geneva, Gezela, Chovel Mazik, and Roteach. So he's Maksik, right, between Nizkei Mamon, right, and with Geneva and Gezela. He put Geneva and Gezela together, Baruch Hashem, right? But what he did was he separated Mazik, Adam HaMazik, out from Nizkei Mamon, and he put it with Hilchos Chovel, in Dinei Chovel. And you'll see, again, we don't have so much time today, but in my opinion, the Rambam in Hilchos Chovel, especially in Perek Hey, but also in a bunch of other places, L'shitaso, in a very subtle way, always looks at Mazik, Adam HaMazik, and Chovel together. Sometimes that ends up dragging Chovel, you know, should we say it that way? Sometimes it ends up, you know, looking at Chovel through the eyes of Mazik, more often looking at Mazik through the eyes of Chovel. And sometimes when he makes distinctions between them, because there's still good reason to distinguish them, then that too is done in a way of, ah, they're distinctive. But he has to make the point. He distinguishes them, but he feels it necessary to talk about their interrelationship. That's a little bit of a hint going forward, or an Eitzah Tova to keep your eyes on that, something that I've noticed from a whole bunch of Rambam, some of the Chostoin and Geneva, and especially in Chovel HaMazik, etc. So, because I think the Rambam did this, he did an important thing,
The Rambam was saying, in my opinion, you know, Niske Mamon is more different from Adam Mazik than Chovel is. Understandably, Chovel is bodily damage, right? And Mazik is direct, you know, damage of property. So it's an open question whether by direct, in both cases, Mazik and Chovel, you have the Mazik or the Chovel, the Adam Mazik by Chovel, is the same, right? How different is the recipient, the object, which is the Chovel Mazik difference, or the fact that it isn't the same actor, right, in this case Mamon, as opposed to Mazik. The Rambam made a choice about that, and I believe, could be I'm wrong, maybe I'm making too much, it doesn't really matter anymore, and that is that maybe that's why in Pirshim Shais, he just wants you to know that he thinks that Mava doesn't go in the Mishnah because Adam Mazik is different. And as you'll see in other things as you go through it, he thinks Adam Mazik is quite different. It's interesting that Shulchan Aruch did not follow, the Torah in Shulchan Aruch did not follow the Rambam. The Torah in Shulchan Aruch kept Adam Mazik, although they may have flipped the orders, but Adam Mazik and this came moment are at least contiguous, right? Torah and Shulchan Aruch did not put Ned Mazik in Dinei Chaval. Okay. So, that's another important distinction. You might say that Adam Mazik is an Isser, and in this Kimomo, not. Actually, Shulchan Aruch does formulate an Isser for Adam Mazik, and doesn't mention the same thing when it comes to this Kimomo. The Tur actually formulates an Isser both for Adam Mazik and for Niske Mamon. The Rambam happens to formulate, we'll see it soon, but in a very selective way, both Adam Mazik and Niske Mamon. When is it's 1:30? 1:20? 1:25? So I'm going to go more quickly. Sorry. I was trying to... Okay. So what are the... how did the Rishonim actually formulate this thing? So number one, let me just mention very quickly. Good. The Shiltos and the Rambam both quote an Isser Lahazik, both without a Makar. The Rambam, as we'll see in a moment, in Perakei Hilchos, Nizkei Mamon Halacha Aleph, and he makes reference to Rishus or Averos, also in Hilchos Chovel Lamazik, Perakei, so Perakei Nizkei Mamon and Perakei Hilchos Chovel, but in no place does the Rambam quote a Makar, a source, for this Isser. The Shultus also says Asur, Lebes Yisrael, it's you know, Glazuke, etc., but he doesn't quote a Makar. As we know, there are those. Again, the Shultus only has it by Adam Mazik, I should mention. I said Ram has it by both. We already mentioned there are some who think that you violated Isser Klali, whether it's Yahafta or that's a different perspective. Let me talk about Gezel for a minute. Rabbi Yonah in Masechet Avos, in Parak Aleph, suggests, Agav, by the way, which makes it more powerful in a way, that you violate the Isser Gzela in Nezek. Let's talk about that for a minute. By the way, the context is fascinating because, I always like to point this out, Rabbi Yonah basically says, you know, it's really critical to appreciate, the concept of Masora. Avos begins, you know, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mitzinah, Masora Yoshua, Shulam is Canaan, so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yonah says, because if we didn't have the Masora, right, we wouldn't know, you know, the truth, you know, about so many things. For example, that Mazik violates Gezel. So what's so fascinating about that, of course, is who said that's even true? Another Rabbeinu assumes that that is true. Obviously, it's a Masorah that he received from his Rabbeinu. Right? And it's so compelling, you know, and so matter-of-fact for him that it's a great example of Torah, of Moshe Kibbel, Torah Misani Masorah, of that unbroken Masorah. But I don't think all Rishonim think that at all. So that's a great example of ish mipiish, you know, from your own Rebbeim at least, and how that becomes such a powerful force. I think it's a very like inspiration of Rabbeinu Yonah. Anyways, Rabbeinu Yonah says that, and I think that it's not only Rabbeinu Yonah, Again, the Ritva, I believe in Or Tosa Rosh and Gittin of Gimel Beis also has that possibility. It's implied a little bit in the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Samech, possibly. Gemara Bava Kamma Samech, which we're going to get to in a minute, talks about a case of what seems to be Nezek, right, Al Menas L'Shaleim. And they quote a pasuk about Gezel. Right? We'll see that in just a minute. So that supports it. And indeed, it sounds this way in the tour as well. They mention the tour speaks about the Iser of Nezek, right, in two different places. One second. In Simon. Here. In Simon Shin Ayin Ches, when he talks about Adam Amazik, or let's say the Tur Shukunar flip the order. They do Adam Amazik first, and then this came over. That's also, I think, very interesting. They saw that the Rambam was uncomfortable. They didn't want to go as far as the Rambam, but they understood that there's a difference between Adam Amazik and this came over. Okay. Anyways, the language of the Torah, Kishem she'asor ligno v'ligzo mamon chaveiro, kach asor lahazik mamon shelo. Just as, now kishems are always loaded, right? The Bach here denies it. He says, klomar, lo tema deleke isura ela ligno v'ligzo, kinesid b'kroi, av lahazik mamon shelo, she'em bo isur im mishalim, lo hazik ela isura nami'ika. So what's fascinating about the Bach is that he noted that there's a Chiddush in the Tur. He highlights what would have been a legitimate Havamina by virtue of the fact that the Torah itself doesn't have an explicit Iser. That's critical, and that's important that he did that for us, right, to acknowledge that we're not just, you know, missing some explicit Pasuk. And at the same time, he was in denial, notwithstanding the language of the Torah, Kishem, that the Iser L'Hazik is the Iser of Gezel. So the way the Bach reads the Torah is, just like there's an Iser of Gezela and Geneva, there's also an Iser of Mazik, even though it's nothing to do with Geneva and Gezela. It's Betoras a parallel. Okay? But the Pashtus of the Torah is that the Torah is saying what Rabbeinu Yehuda says, which, by the way, is not at all surprising. It doesn't prove anything, but this is not surprising. You should just be aware that the Peirush of Rabbeinu Yonah in Masechet Avos was enormously influential to the Tur. The Tur begins, Chosha Mishpat, by quoting Rabbeinu Yonah's discussion in Avos about Al Shlosha Dvarim HaTorah, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omedes, HaOlam Kayam. That's his first, that's how he starts, Chosha Mishpat. And other places also. He just happened to have been very influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah's Peirush in Avos. So again, it's I don't know this for sure, it's speculation, but it's not absurd to think. This is right in the beginning of, this is like practically the first Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos. Of course, the Tur knew it and saw it. So the Kishem, given his familiarity with that Peirush and the fact that he leans on it in Chosha Mishpat, is likely an affirmation of this idea. And we do find, again, Tosa Rosh has it, Rosh is the father of the Tur, etc. So what does it mean? I should also add before we get to the... And in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, the Tur again says, Kishem she'asol adam she'yazik es chaveiro v'imhizik chayev l'shalem. Also interesting. Kach tzarech lishmor mamono shelo yazik v'imhizik chayev l'shalem. So this is what I meant, that this is in Shin Pei Tes, in the beginning of Hilchos Niskei Mamon, and that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't have the words Kishem for Geneva and Gezela. It just says that it's Asur Lahazik in Adam Amazik. He has nothing in Niskei Mamon. The Tur has basically from Adam Amazik from Gzela, and then Niskei Mamon because of the link between Niskei Mamon and Mazik. So it went from Gzela to Adam Amazik to Niskei Mamon, which is fascinating. Okay.
This question of the relationship, you know, my time is running, so I'm going to say a few things quickly about this, between Zeila and Mazik, is, I think, a very crucial issue. And it goes to the question of Maharaj asked before. That is not the same, in my opinion, at all, as the Iser Kloli idea, namely the idea that maybe it's Afal Reacha Kamocha, maybe it's Hashem Saveda, Rachel Dachra. Those are clearly Isurim Kloli and that don't shed any light at all on Mazik per se. It's, you know, it could be anything. That they're secondary or overlapping or you know, dual dinim. On the one hand, you're being mazik chavero, and you're also, you know, violating the aftal reach kamocha. But when it comes to gezel, it's very possible that there is an intricate relationship here. And the reason I say that is because there is a lot of evidence in both directions that there is mazik in geneva and gezela, and that there is gezela in Adama Masa. That's a topic in its own right, which I'm not going to get into. I'll just mention that Reb Chaim, in particular, brought that point out in a bunch of different pieces in his Sefer on the Rambam. So, for example, Perek Tet, Sofas Gzela, Alach Aleph, there Reb Chaim discusses the Shitas HaRaibid, which is that even though Avadim Einam Nigzalim, there is Yeush Va'avadim. That's Perek Tet, Sofas Gzela, Alach Aleph. Reb Chaim explains, like, why should that be? Well, there are different versions of this. Reb Chaim in the Shirim in Belajin, and Reb Chaim in the Sefer. But let's stick to the Sefer for a moment. Part of his explanation is that every act of Gezela, right, in Gezela there are two dinim. One din of Gezela is Kinyane Gezela. When you steal something, it's a legal action. That's a very fascinating view of the halacha. Obviously, it's an illegal, it's a crooked action, but it has legal consequences. Right? You develop kinyane geneva or gezela, the thing that you steal. And the din is that karkas einam nigzalis, and abadim are hukshu likarkaos, and therefore abadim einam nigzalim. However, says Reb Chaim, unlike karka, where there's also no maisig zela, you can't pick up karka and, you know, move it anywhere. That's what it is. It's not, you know, it's real estate. It's not mobilia. But abadim are nigzalim in terms of a maisig zela. Oh, but why should you be chayim for a maisig zela if there are no kinyanig zela? So Reb Chaim develops the idea, and he tries to connect this to the question of Avadim Tekase and so on, or Lav Shinit on the Tashlumin. So Reb Chaim says, in every act of Gzela, there is also an act of Mazik. The Maisik Gzela is a Mazik. In Perek Aleph Hilchos Gneiva Halacha Tes, the Rambam has a fascinating formulation that Reb Chaim notes and discusses, and that is, Rambam here says that if you have ha'eved sheganav potem rakeifa, the bal of pturim, she'en adam chayiv on this ke'avadav, afa b'shei mamono, she'eshta svein yochel ha'shamron, she'imachi senarabu yelech v'yadli k'disho be'elav dinar. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama, it's a Mishnah in Yadayim, u'kiyotze b'zeh mishar nezikin. Reb Chaim says, why does the Rambam quote this halacha in Michos Gneva? Why does he quote the din that the act, the mazik act of an eved, right, are not going to be actionable for the adon? That's a din in mazik. But why does he quote it here in Hilchos Geneva? And even if there would be some habamina that he would be chayiv in mazik, you wouldn't think that about Geneva, says Reb Chaim, because the whole idea in Geneva is that the maisas of Maisa Geneva, or the Maisa Gezela is the Mechayiv, and Baal didn't do that, the Eved did it. Bishloman Nezek, you could say, well, it's not really about the Maisa, there's no Tzura, it's all about the effect, like we were talking about before. Okay, so if he's my Eved, then I should pay, because he's my property, it's like Niskei Mamon. But you can't have that by Geneva, says Reb Chaim. No, it's like we said for the Raivid, now we're saying it for the Rambam, and that is, every act of Gezela includes an act of Maisa. Oh. But there's also another element in the relationship between Gisela and Mazik, which is fascinating. And that is that Mazik, in the context of Gneva and Gisela, may be Gisela. That's a sugya of Tavra Vashasya. A sugya later on in Samachay, a sugya of Amakiv. And I'm not going to go into the details of it. But the point is, let's say you steal something, and then you destroy it. That's Tavra Vashasya. You steal an object, and then you eat it, or you smash it to smithereens. Is that Gneva, or is that Mazik? So there's a major debate in the Rishonim already. Yosef, Chidush Aran argue that it's Mazik. The Gemara seems to say it's Gzela. Most Rishonim seem to think it's Gzela. It's a famous debate between the Ksos and the Nesivas. But in some contexts, in Sugya and Sanhedrin, if I base on Aleph, this comes up. Person is in a machteret. He stole an object. So there's a din of kamle bedrava mine. Question is, what happens when he leaves the machteret? He has the object still. There's a debate between Rava and Rav, whether or not he has to repay it or not. We pass it like Rava, he has to repay it. But let's say later on, before he repays it, something happens to the object and it gets destroyed. Well, the guy destroys the object. So then he doesn't have to give it back. According to Rashi, according to Tosis, says the Ramban, well, what happened to Tavra Vashasya? If the Ganav or the Gazlan destroys the object, he should pay. So the Ramban, others say, because the Tavra Vashasya is a Gzela, and the Kamla Bidrava Minei of phase one of the Gzela, it's Poterim. But with the Ramban, was, forget about the Gzela, is that all, he's also Mazik. Just to get him on Mazik. The point is that the relationship between Gezela and Mazik is such. There's Gezela, there's Mazik and Gezela, that's what Reb Chaim was trying to prove. Separate from the Gezela, every Gezela is its own internally an act of Mazik. But there is also an act of Gezela in Mazik. And Reb Chaim tries to prove that in the Cheschovel of Mazik as well, in Perek Zayin. So the point is that there's an aspect. There's a double relationship, and therefore that's the reason of Tavra Vashasya. It's internal. In the context of Geneva and Gezela, you can't just be a regular Mazik, because every Mazik anyways is a Gzela, and therefore Gzela just governs or defines what it is that you're doing. So the relation, if you hold like Rav Yonah and the Tur and the Tosafot Rush, and those possibly the Gemara's Amanas and the Shalem, which overlaps the two, then that's not v'haftal v'yachal kamocha. That may indeed be, if you accept it, clearly the Bach didn't, and the Rishonim who didn't say it, didn't. But there is a reciprocal relationship between Geneva and Gezela, Geneva, Gezela, and Mazik in both directions. There's an aspect of Mazik in Geneva and Gezela, and it seems like there's an aspect of Gezela in every Mazik. Okay. I see it's very late, so let me get to the main point. What is the Shitas HaRabba? The Rabba doesn't hold this Gzela. The Rabba mentions the Iser of Gzela in one, the Iser of Mazik and Ilusin's Kemamon in one place. That is in Perakei Halakhal. What is Perakei Halakhal? So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, on Daf Chav Gimel, the Gemara has the following. Can I drive another 5-6 minutes? Yeah? Okay. Not fair, but okay. We have so much, yeah. I just want to tell you at least where to look for the other thing. Let me develop the Rambam, and then I'll tell you. Gemara says in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph that, I'm sorry, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says the following. The Sulk, Machriz Rabbi Yosef Yitema Rabba, the Sulk of the Eilu, the Nafil, the Tav, Hani Izi, the Shuka, the Mitzvah, the Matsidi, you have these aggressive Ezim. Masrina bimarayu, you warn the owners, trade crosses in it. Itzayas tzayas, ilo, amrilay, tivam chasta, the kabel zuzeh. If not, you can shech these animals and say, listen, you know, they were annoying me or whatever, or threatening, and give them the money. So Rashi and Tosis both interpret that we're dealing here with Ezim, which were omed l'shchita anyway, and it was only a question of timing. The other way, the animals are going to get shechted and sold. So he can shecht them a little early because he warned the guy.
These are aggressive animals. However, says Rashi and Tosis, if these animals were not omed l'shchita, then the fact that they are threatening his property doesn't give him the right to launch a preemptive strike. He has to absorb the hit, the loss, and they don't pay for it. Rambam, however, says behema shoysa roas, a little based on Rav Haigon, but going further, behema shoysa roa, you give him three-time warning. Ram says you can launch a preemptive strike. It has nothing to do. There's no qualification, no requirement that these are omeid l'shchita. The guy's going to lose money because he wasn't planning, you know, to sell these as steaks. How can you do that? Says the Rambam. And this is the first time in Hilchos Niskei Mamon that the Rambam mentioned. This is the one I was mentioning. Hey, Al, how come the Rambam didn't put the Iser in Perek Aleph? He doesn't tell us what it is either. You're not allowed to be mazik, even if you're going to pay. Afilu ligrom anezek aser. This is where the Rambam formulates the Iser. And again, in Parakei Yitzchovel, I'll get them a second in a minute. Why here does the Rambam mention this Iser? I think it's a step back. We've been discussing the question, is there an Iser? And another question we need to ask, and that is, do you pay because of the Iser? What is the relationship between the paying and the Iser? There are a whole bunch of Gemaras that imply that there isn't a Veira when you do Mazik. The Gemara speaks, I have some of the Gemara Makomas, we can't go through them now because we only have 5 more minutes. But the Gemara in Kiddushin and in Baba Kama speaks about Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira when it comes to this game up. For Bor, for Eish, calls it an Aveira. Okay? Maybe it doesn't mean necessarily Aveira. The words, the phrase Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira can mean, the example could be Aveira, could mean You can't make somebody a shliach if you're not bailim. You can't tell somebody to burn down somebody else's field, even if it wasn't an aveira, because of ein shliach dvar aveira. What ein shliach? That's our b'chaim understanding. Ein shliach dvar aveira. Doesn't mean it's not a divrei rab, divrei talmud, divrei mishom in the aveira. You don't have bailus. Okay, so then you can say lav dafka. But b'pashtus, the gemara does call it an aveira, right? Another example, the Mechilta uses the expression Ein Onshin Min Adin, right? When it talks about Bor, Tosis quotes it on Beis Amud Aleph, Ki Yichre, Ki Yiftach, Ein Onshin Min Adin. Onshin Min Adin? Right? Sounds like the Teshlumin of this Kemamon is a result of an Iser, an Onesh. You know, they're not identifying the Iser, but it sounds, again, like that's what it is. The Rashba says, no, only in Bor. Maybe it's stuck only in Bor, because Bor, as we know, is the more, in some respects, the most mechudash of the Nizke Mamons. The Rashba says there are 3 reasons why Bor is singular. The victim walks into the Bor doesn't move, the owner doesn't have to own it. These are all probably 3 ways of saying that the Mechayev in Bor is not Maisa Hezek or passive Maisa Hezek or delayed Maisa Hezek, right? It's Yitzira Satakala. That's a big theme in Bor. It's a totally different kind of Mechayev. Maybe in Bor, the only way to explain why you really should pay, since it's so Grumma-esque, is that it's an onus, an Iser. The Torah said you're not allowed to do it. Ein on shem inadim. Okay. The Gemara uses the expression kimlei bedraba minei when it comes to niske mamo. And the Gemara says lamed dalid, right, that if you burn down somebody's barn, you know, on Shabbos, your potter, what's kimlei bedraba minei? Mishum rishach asatam bechaybo, ya atam bechaybo, mishum shtei rishias. There's a famous view of the Chachmei Provence, quoted by the Shita Mukubetzes, the Miri quotes it, in Bab Metzia and Tzadi, in Bab Kama Davayin, and that is that if you have this chayvus midas, you have a quid pro quo, that you do this, therefore it makes sense, you should pay that, that's not really coming brahman. So if really the chi of tashlumin of nezer was only a result of your actions, and it wasn't, had nothing to do with Isra, would we call that kamle midrava minei, mishum rish achas atamakachba? So there's a lot of evidence, objectively, and a few other cases, where we have the impression, and there are for sure the shonim hold this way, that you paid tashlume nezek because of the isur, the onish, the aveira, etc. But the Rambam clearly isn't working that way, because he's been talking about tashlumin before parakei. All of a sudden he came up with this isur. So those who think there's no isur, or that there's an isur and there's tashlumin, but they have nothing to do with each other, that's almost the same thing. Isur klali, for example. Are those who think that the isur is part and parcel of the mechayev of tashlumin across the board? What does the Rambam hold? I think the answer is very simple. The Rambam only quotes the isur where he needs to expand and extend, right, the quid pro quo. But the Rambam says as follows. In a typical case in Mazik, there may be an Isser. But the Isser is irrelevant to the Tashlumin. But in some cases, because there's an Isser, because you have a Chiyuv not to be Mazik, Mamun Chaberka, that also defines the actual Dine Mamunis as well. And that's why it's only in this case in Parakeh. Why? The Rambam's talking about a case where you're able to launch, right, a preemptive strike. According to the Rambam, we're not talking about animal that's omid l'shechita. We're talking about the other fellow sustaining the loss because you don't want to be the victim of his mazik. So the Rambam says, if the din of mazik had only been, as it typically is, sufficient to deal with it, a din in quid pro quo, a din in You bang my car, you have to pay for it. Forget about Isurin. Maybe there's also an Isur, but that's not why you're paying. It's not Onesh. It's not a Beira. But here, nothing happened. I don't want to absorb this loss from you. I don't have to absorb this loss from you because you have no right to damage me. Why don't you have the right to damage me, says the Rambam? Because it's Asur. If it's Asur, I have the right also to defend myself and to launch a preemptive strike. That's the time when the Rambam revives attention on the Isur. But the Rambam's view that there is an Isur is also reflected in other contexts where it matters. So in Parakei Yechezkobel, I'm just going to finish up in one more minute. In Parakei Yechezkobel, the Rambam speaks about the differences between Chovel and Mazik. And makes it perfectly clear that Chovel is much more Osir. But, again, I can't go through all of them, but Perikei, Hilchos Chovel and Mazik. But the Rambam says, Ma Bain, what's the differences between the two? Ein Adom and Mazik Chaver Begufo the Mazik Mamono. Shamazik Mamon Chaver Kivin Shashili Mashu Chayiv Lishalim Niskaper Lo. Avo Chavo Bechavero Avo Pishadosim Lo Hei Dvarim Ein Niskaper Lo. Afilu hikriv kol elei nevayos ein miskaper velo nimchal avono ad sheyivakesh min anechbov yimchala. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva does say that you need tshuva for mazik in addition to chova, perek aleph halakha aleph. And you need vidui for mazik. There's no clear makar for this. The Rambam's mechadesh, his understanding of different gemaras, he gets it actually from the Mishnah about chovel. He assumes that mazik and chovel are the same. For the same reason that he puts on a mazik in Chovel and always juxtaposes them, whether they're both this way, that way, or distinguishing them. This is a great example of that. But even then the Rambam says, as they're similar, they both need tshuva, and you have to have hashlumin, and you need kapara, but you don't need pius in on a mazik. That you only need in Chovel. Because it's still a more money-oriented rather than a maisa vera, personal, attack on that person. Then later on, the Rambam says, there's another important distinction, and that's almanas. I'm going to leave that for a moment.
But then the Rambam adds another circumstance, which I want to mention, and that is Omer lechaveru shvar. This is the last halacha in Parakei. Shaber kelev shaploni al menasha to potter v'asa reza chayv l'shalem. Somebody says, "Go out." Reuven says to Shimon, "Go burn down Levi's property." You can't do that. But when the Rambam wants to say that the person who Shimon who burnt it down is chayev, not Reuven. It says, "Uki ilu amarlo samei eno shaploni al menasha tapater." Once again, why uki ilu? Why did he just say? Because ain shliach ledvar aveira, which is what he's saying. Why does he need to say ain shliach ledvar aveira by saying uki ilu? It's like chovel. This is again the same pattern in the Rambam. And then he adds, "V'aval pi sha'osa hu chayev l'shalem," even though ain shliach ledvar aveira. Albeit because of the comparison to Chovel, to show you that it's really an Aveira. If it hadn't been for that comparison, we wouldn't think that it's fully an Aveira, maybe? Harezeha Omer Shutfo Ba'avon Mirashahu. Even the Mazik, meaning the Shaleach, violates the Iser, even though he has no Chiyav Tashlum. So whenever the Rambam needs either the Iser in its own right, or to kind of prop up or buttress cases where the Iser makes a difference in the Tashlumin, that's when the Rambam quotes the Din of Iser. Okay, we have to stop. There are numerous nafkaminas involved in this issue. There's a debate in the some of the poskim whether Adam HaMazik is Pasal Yehus. And it partially comes from the Gemara of Samach HaMan Aleph, where the Gemara says if you burn down, the property of this one in order, but with the intention that you're going to return it to pay the other one, that's the Gemara Nafsamech. So the Gemara says that is Asur. Again, the king can do that, but no one else can do that. The Bach had the Bach quotes the Chachmi Ashkenaz who had the Girsa, that is based on the principle of that's Mazik. But the quote, but Sholchulei, you're not allowed to do that. Chavol Yashiv Rasha, Gezela Yishali. So according to the Chachmi Ashkenaz, who had that Girsa in the Gemara, that this is talking about Mazik, the reason you're not allowed to do that is they're invoking the pasuk of Gezela. That works very well for Tosa Rosh, for Aben Yonah, for the tour. But for the Mordechai and them, it was also led them to the conclusion that Mazik Momen Chaver is a Rasha Lechamas. And that it's Pasal Yedas. The Rajba discusses whether or not Safek, in certain cases of Mazik, is Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya. This is the Rajba, famous Rajba on that base of base. Or whether maybe it's Safek Iser and Safek Lechomra. The status of Katan, in Mazik, in Niske Mazik, in Niske Mamun, and in Chavala, what about the Chiyuv of a Katan Kishin is Gadol? Is a major debate among the Rishonim. Again, if you think that the major Mechayiv is Isurim, anything a Katan does as a Katan is not going to be actionable even when he's a Gadol. If you think that mostly it's Mamun, that's a different story. So there are numerous other nafkaminas. Just to sum up, I'm sorry I went over time. So there is this interesting question to compare Mazik and Niske Mamon to its, other, elite members in the Nezikin club, whether there's an Iser Mazik, whether there's an Iser or not. The Psukim are relatively, except maybe B'lo Yishmeranu Ba'alav, silent about this. The Bach already makes that Ha'ara. There are some, like the Mabit, who seem to say that there is no Iser Daraisa, at least in the case of Almanas L'Shalem. And there are others who simply ignore it and probably think that as well. On the other hand, there are those who think that there's an Iser Klali. There are those who think that there's an Iser Gezela. Gezela and Mazik is a very fascinating reciprocal relationship. And then I'm suggesting that there are those who think that there's just an Iser. And then there's the Rambam, who thinks that there's a Chiyuv Mamon, and there's also an Iser, but he only quotes the Iser when it kind of advances, the Tashlumin side of it.
Okay, so I just want to wish you all hatzlacha in the limud, and it's a little public comment.